All right, welcome to the first episode of Pages of Purpose, the Book of Mormon in Action. I'm your host, Taylin Kendall, and I have with me my good friend, Michaela. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, y'all. Yeah, I'm Michaela. I'm from Chandler, Arizona. Currently going to school at BYU to study family studies and become a marriage and family therapist.
Perfect. So, I just have a couple of questions for you today, and we're going to be talking about the Book of Mormon in your life. So my first question is, have you been a member all your life?
Yeah, I have been.
Yeah, and so your family members as well?
Yep.
How did the Book of Mormon, how did that play a role in your life whenever, through your childhood and growing up? How was the Book of Mormon there?
Yeah, a lot of what I remember from my childhood about the Book of Mormon is that we would read the Book of Mormon as a family, and we would try. We used to be so good at reading it every night, especially when I was younger and growing up, and I didn't always get the most out of it. Things always got a little hectic and chaotic because there were four little kids running around, but I do remember that we would try to read it as a family. And we'd have these like little animated videos on CD. I don't know what they were called or where we got them. Honestly, don't even know where they went if we still have them. But they would like animate the Book of Mormon stories in a way that like I would remember way better than just like reading, especially as a young kid. Now I know the stories, but when I was first growing up and stuff, I remember watching those videos and my parents tried so well to do scripture study, and it ended up working out just fine.
That's awesome. So, I mean, obviously, like, growing up, there's generally, like, a point, maybe it's not, like, an exact moment, but there's generally, like, around a time period to where you feel like you know the Book of Mormon, and you get that testimony for yourself. Can you tell me a little bit about that point in your life?
Yeah, it was a very gradual experience, if I'm being honest. Especially growing up in the church, I would go to church on Sundays and we'd talk about the atonement and we'd talk about the people in the Book of Mormon and the scripture stories and what they teach us. And then when I got to Young Women's, I went to girls' camp, and I remember having one experience where I just like undeniably felt and knew that I was a daughter of God. And I was like, okay, well, if that's true, what else about this is like true? What else should I be taking like super seriously?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started thinking about that. I started attending seminary, and in seminary we read the Book of Mormon, and I just remember, especially my freshman sophomore year, I was so good at reading the Book of Mormon every day. Junior year got a little bit worse. I'm definitely not. But we'll focus freshman sophomore year, right? Where I was reading the Book of Mormon and I felt really good, and no matter what, I mean, I'm sure you remember high school, not the greatest time in anyone's life, I don't think.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and looking back now, it was all just kind of, everyone's just a little dramatic and their home runs are going crazy and no one thinks straight. Everyone's a little bit crazy. And so I remember like these experiences happening and I was like, surely I should be like so upset about this, or like I should feel this way or something. And I get pent up and I get frustrated and I feel alone or isolated or like an outcast or whatever XYZ emotion that you want to fill in here. And I would read the Book of Mormon, and no matter what I was reading, I just feel peace. Nothing about my situation changed. And it was really funny because I remember reading, I got through 2 Nephi and I was like, oh, this is great. You know, yeah. All the Isaiah chapters, I was like, perfect. Couldn't tell you at all what they were talking about. But I was like, I finished, check the box. And I kept reading and kept reading, and Mosiah was great, and then I got to Alma, and I was reading about, like, these wars.
Yeah.
And, like, brutal, like, the Book of Mormon is, those wars are for real, and they'd just be, like, slaughtering people. This sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But they'd just be these big wars, and I was like, wow, I'm for real reading about, like, a giant war right now, and I still feel peace. And I still feel like I belong with God. And I was like, okay, this has gotta be something. And so kind of that experience mixed with just the constant reassurance where I had church leaders talking about the Book of Mormon, and I would try to study it with my family, and I'd go to seminary every day and have these like constant experiences where I was reading the Book of Mormon and hearing about it and hearing people's testimonies and stories about it. And then as, I mean, you read the end of Moroni and it's like, oh, pray about it, right? Pray to see if it's true or not. And I did, and I just felt almost just like this thought where it's like, you already know.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And I was like, oh shoot, you're kind of right. And so I don't know exactly what point that was at. I couldn't say like, oh, September 16th,
yeah.
2017 or whatever. But I remember just having these daily experiences. So small, right? They seem so insignificant in the moment. But then they build up and I'm like, oh yeah, actually God has showed up every single day. And like, I've been reading the Book of Mormon. Trying to read the Book of Mormon every day. And so I'm like, okay, this is what I need. And then I took a deep dive on my mission into like the truths about the gospel that are taught in the Book of Mormon. I was like, yeah, this is wholesome. Like, this is so good. There's no way that it could be fake. Knowing God's character, how good he is, I'm like, this is the truth. This is what he wants us to have, and he wants us to be happy. And so I think a lot of the sure testimony came from daily experiences, but also finding out who God is.
Yeah.
And knowing,
it just
like,
makes it so much more real.
Yeah. And what it teaches. I'm like, yeah, that's the God I believe in.
Mm-hmm. So, you mentioned, like, you went on a mission. What led up to that point? Like, what led up to the decision of, I am going to go serve a full-time mission?
Yeah, so when I was little, couldn't tell you an exact age, at 12, 11, 10, somewhere in there, I had this Sunday school teacher, or primary teacher, one of the two, I don't know, I had a teacher,
yeah,
and she went on a mission, and she taught us about the Book of Mormon. She taught us in a way that you could just feel her sincerity. And it was me, and it was probably like seven other boys, and we were pretty rowdy sometimes, but she would just teach so sincere, and she'd say, like, on my mission, I learned this, and I want you to know as well. So she's kind of set the example, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm serving a mission, right? 10-year-old me, I was like, yeah, let's go, let's get this. And then I got closer to graduating high school, and I was like, okay, like, kind of like I was saying, where I've had these really good experiences with the Book of Mormon, right? Just constantly uplifting, not like life-changing or anything. But I was like, oh, this is good. And so it was my senior year, I was filling out college applications, and I was like, dang, this is kind of stressful. Life got, like, college? Choosing what college to go to, I was like, wow, I don't even know what I want to do with my life, let alone where I want to be. And all my friends were, like, going to Utah, and I was like, okay, I'll just fill out BYU, right? Great, you know, whatever. But I was like, I just kept thinking about a mission in the back of my head, and of course, the boys my age were all, like, filling out their mission forms and going on missions, so I was like, okay, I'm going to open mine. And I opened my mission papers. And I was just way, way more excited to fill out my mission papers than college applications.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, this is probably a good sign. And so I filled out my papers. I submitted them in the second week school started. And I was just really excited. And so I think that was a really big thing where it's like, okay, I had the idea, but then just had the faith. I was like, hey, if this isn't real, or if this isn't right, I feel like I would feel something wrong. God doesn't necessarily speak to me in, like, exact phrases in my mind. I'm a very emotional person. And so I was like, if this is right, I'm going to feel right. And if it's wrong, I'll know by the way I feel.
Perfect. And where did you end up serving?
I served in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
That, okay, well, on your mission, well, the Book of Mormon, obviously, you're doing constant study with that. Can you tell me a bit about how the Book of Mormon, like, how you grew closer to the Book of Mormon, and how its purpose changed in your life while you were on your mission?
Oh my gosh, yes. It was crazy. I went on a mission. Probably a little too prideful. Because I was like, oh, I've been raised in the gospel. I know the doctrine, right? And I've read the Book of Mormon. I know it. And I did. I knew the stories. But then I started studying, because you have an hour on your mission to study on your own, and then you have more time to study, like, with your companion and, like, all these things, right? And so I was studying a lot more than what I had normally done in the past. And it just started, like, I started learning about Jesus, right? Not just the stories, and not just saying, like, oh, I made it through Nephi, or I made it through 2 Nephi, right? Like, those kind of, like, big... I don't know. Instead of, like, checking the box to say, like, I read it, or, like, oh, I got to this story, I was reading it for the doctrine. And it was really cool, because I started reading for the doctrine, and I was like, oh, actually, this mentions the Savior everywhere. Like, there is not, you can't go a full page in the Book of Mormon without having, like, a reference to the Savior, or something that it teaches you about the Savior. And I was like, this is really interesting, and I kind of started thinking about that. But it really came to life when I would start reading these things and saying, oh, this is what the Savior wants, right? Like, 2 Nephi 32 talks about the doctrine of Jesus, 31 and 32, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ. And I was like, yeah, I know God wants us to be happy, like, plan of salvation, all the things. But then I was like, oh, actually, God has given us what we need to do X, Y, Z, right? Whatever he needs us to do. And he's given us the tools, and he gives us the Holy Ghost so that we can know and trust in him and, like, have a direction and all these things. And they all just kind of started coming together. And then it really came to life when I saw that I was teaching these things to other people, and their lives started changing. And, like, I saw the like, action of the gospel, like, soften people's hearts. And I'd see these miracles come, and I'm like, wow, that was by no means me, because I'm just a 19-year-old girl in a place that I've never been before, talking to this random stranger. Like, I could know what they need and stuff like that. And the Book of Mormon just really... it just changed from, like, stories that I could just rely on and know and answer questions about to, like, the doctrine and the character of God, that, like, what he wants for us just became so, not overwhelming, but just so beautiful in a way that I'd never experienced it before.
Yeah. And you mentioned, like, seeing it in other people's lives. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, about how they were before the Book of Mormon, and as you taught them, just how their lives changed, how their attitudes changed?
It's crazy. I highly recommend going on a mission and reading the Book of Mormon, of course. But I think the coolest thing is just watching the Atonement change people's lives. And I remember I was with this one friend of ours, and I'm going to say this in the nicest way, no possible. It's probably still going to come out wrong. But sometimes missionaries, people are just people who need, they have great needs. They just find the missionaries, right? And so I saw a lot of people who were in poverty or were really struggling with something in their life, but they were going through just really hard times. And it was really crazy because, like I said, 19-year-old girl who grew up in Arizona, my family, I mean... I couldn't complain about much. I was very humbled to see life situations of other people. And I was meeting with this one friend of ours, and life was just hard. It was a young couple, and their family wasn't very supportive. Their family was honestly just kind of mean in all reality, and I'm going to leave it at that. But they were just in this hard place, and they were trying to make it on their own and trying to, you know, do all these things, and it's just stressful. Like, life is just hard for them. And we started meeting with them and teaching them about the purpose of life. Like, why? And kind of answering, I think everyone's had this question of, like, why? Why do good things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to good people? You know, why, if I'm trying to be a good person, is life so hard all the time? Right? And I was like, yeah, that's a great question. And then my trainer and this conversation actually happens so much as a missionary, because you're like, oh, life is hard, whether you consider yourself a good person or a bad person. Life is just hard in general. And so we were meeting with this couple, and they started understanding who they were, right, and who God is, and who their Savior is, and, like, the hope that comes from the atonement, right? That your heart can be changed, that life circumstances don't have to define you, and that you can ultimately, no matter what cards life deals you, you can make it back to the celestial kingdom based on your choices, based on the intentions of your heart, because of Christ's infinite atonement and his sacrifice. I saw that just bring relief into their life. And they weren't so... Their hearts were a lot softer. Where they weren't so quick to blame other people. Where they were quick to forgive rather than hold grudges. And they were quick to show love to people that they didn't know, even though they were struggling a lot themselves. And I saw the truths from the Book of Mormon really start to take shape and help them understand just how great life can be. You know, the joy that comes from following Christ, because Christ is the reason that we can do something better than what is done to us or what just happens to us. It's not always our fault. But that moment where I just saw, honestly, the Spirit, right, the light of Christ, which sounds so cliche, but I saw this hope just come into their eyes, and it just changed their hearts. And this process took a while, right? Mm-hmm. The Spirit, I mean, most of the experiences I've had, at least, didn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of time to break old habits or to start new habits, but I think that was one of the first experiences where I'm like, oh, this is powerful stuff. I mean, this really, like, changes lives. And that was my first experience where I was like, oh, this couple is going through things I could never even imagine. And yet, they're coming to church, and they're smiling, and they're actually happy. It's not like they're just putting on a fake smile. And their lives are actually changing, because you can see it in your actions when Christ, like, touches your heart. Sorry, that was so long.
No, it's beautiful. And so, you served your full mission, and then I'd also like to talk about coming home. So, I know that transition can be a little bit tough. but would you mind telling me a little bit about just in general that transition, and also the transition going from where you had that hour of study by yourself and then another amount of time with your companion to going into back into life, and how your relationship with the Book of Mormon, if it shifted, or if there was a way, like if you had any sort of dip in your testimony of the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, so just at first, generally, one piece of advice, stay busy. I came home from a mission and I had a couple weeks before school started, and it was that awkward in-between period where no one wanted to hire me. So I just had, like, as for a job, because I was leaving in, like, a month. No one wants to hire someone for just a month before you leave the state. And so I just had so much time, and I feel like that was kind of hard, because as a missionary, you go from being so engaged in a purpose, in a fulfilling purpose, so you're using your time, and it's just flying, right? By the end of your mission, time just flies by, and you're like, this is so great, I'm doing so many good things. I think it almost was like whiplash. I came home, and I was like, how am I supposed to fill all this time doing absolutely nothing? I was just waiting for school to start, and it was really fun to hang out with my family, and to, like, kind of readjust and be normal.
Right.
Whatever that means, I don't know, but...
just gotta defrost a little bit.
Right? You're like, oh, normal people listen to normal music and, like, watch TV or, you know, read a book or something, you know. All good things, but all things that I just didn't need on my mission. And so that was fun to just, like, kind of relax for a second. But I would say it's a lot easier of a transition when you just start doing something, when you're engaged in a cause and filling your time with things that are purposeful. But then I got to school, and things got busier, and I started a job, and I had classes, and I had friends. Well, I made friends. and then I was like, oh shoot, I don't think my testimony of the Book of Mormon changed, right? The knowledge was still there, the feeling, the conviction, still there. But I wasn't studying as much. And I took a Book of Mormon class right when I got home, and it was great. I loved the class. I learned a lot. But I was almost reading just for homework. So I was just reading. I wasn't really studying the scriptures for like a personal cause. And I wasn't looking for answers to the questions I had or ways that it applies to my life. I was just reading to read, to check the box. And so I think it took me... Well, I'm still trying out different study methods. Right? I think I had a method that worked on my mission, and then you come home and things change. Like, your life is just different. Your life is like a normal life. I love my mission. I'm not trying to talk that all up. That's not my intention. It's just different when you come home and you have school and you have job and normal responsibilities. And so I was reading the Book of Mormon to just kind of check the box, especially because that Book of Mormon class had homework.
It was right.
So I was like, I was just doing it for homework because I needed to do my homework. And so it wasn't until, I don't know, probably like halfway through the semester, maybe October, November 10th, where I was like, okay, we need to try something else. And so I started reading the Book of Mormon for probably just like 15 minutes before I started my homework. And so I was reading for me, and which was also just, it's just good. I had this kind of same experience where I was talking about earlier. It was just peaceful. And even if I didn't like learn anything crazy about the doctrine or anything that changed my perspective, it was just a kind of mental reset of what actually matters most. But long story short, I don't think my testimony of the Book of Mormon changed, but I had to be more intentional about my habits. And I had to like show the Lord that I was thinking of the Book of Mormon, that I was thankful for the Book of Mormon, and that I wanted to keep his commandments and to grow closer to him by studying the Book of Mormon just like I used to. It just took a lot more effort because it wasn't just carved out time every day like it is on the mission.
Right. Well, you have recently had some exciting news. You are engaged. So how are you planning on keeping the Book of Mormon and just your testimony something that stays super prevalent in your life as you move on to the married life and just your life in the future going forward?
Oh my gosh, I love that question. You know, I'll probably have to update you in 6 months when my whole life changes. But for the moment, what me and my fiance do is our schedule are pretty much the opposite of each other. So I work until 4 or 5 most days, and he starts work at 4 or 5 most days. And so he comes over to my place after work, he does homework. And so what we do as far as the Book of Mormon, I know some people try to like study it together, and that's just, there's just not, this is an excuse, by the way. But we just don't. We do homework. But we study each individually. And what we do is at the end of every night, we'll send each other a verse. Just a verse of scripture as we're saying, you know, as we're like, hey, I'm going to bed. Like, here, I actually did study. And so it's kind of a sense of accountability. And if I didn't study the scriptures before doing my homework, then I'll be like, oh, shoot. It serves as a reminder. When I see his scripture, I'm like, oh, shoot. Okay, let me read something real quick before I go to sleep, and so I can send you this. And so we keep each other accountable by doing that. But it's also really cool to see just different insights. Honestly, it seems somewhat intimidating sometimes to study with someone else, because my brain and other people's brain, like the way that God speaks to you is so personalized and individualized that I find myself thinking, oh, why didn't I think about that? Or like, oh, my thought is just like so small and insignificant, you know, what about what you're thinking? Or something like that, whatever, X, Y, Z. And so we're planning on, or at least my thoughts, is just whenever, just giving like a summary of what you learned or what you would want to do or, you know, how your scripture study affected your day or a prompting you received or something like that, right? About just being accountable and saying, hey, I did, like God spoke to me, and I want you to help me stay accountable to that. That's kind of the role that me and my fiance are trying to find exactly how to do. At the moment, we just text each other. Maybe when we're married, it'll be a little different. Maybe a conversation during dinner or something, or on a walk or whatever. I don't know what that looks like yet.
Yeah.
But it's really cool to have someone so supportive and saying, hey, we can work on this together, right? It's a goal of both of ours to send that verse to each other every day. It's a goal of both of ours to make sure we're praying and that we go to the temple every week together. And so we're doing these things that really just support each other and are really authentic in a way that they, it shows that we care about the spiritual part of our lives and we're willing to go through ups and downs and still try to have the same habits of reading the Book of Mormon, even if study looks a little different this week than it did last week or than it did on our missions or wherever, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you did just mention the temple, so that goes into what I'd like to ask you. So something that really sets our church, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, apart from a lot of other Christian churches is that we believe in our temple, like we have a temple. Could you tell me a little bit about your testimony about the temple and about the Book of Mormon's role with the temple?
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, I'm still learning. I mean, I've got...
Aren't we all?
But something that was really cool was that when I went through the temple to get my endowment for the first time, I heard all these things, and I was like, what is going to happen? Like, I didn't know what to expect, honestly. But what was really cool is that the doctrine is all the same, right? What I read about the plan of salvation in the Book of Mormon, is about the same plan of salvation that is shown to us in the temple. And the character of God that I see in the Book of Mormon, of how he wants us to have the knowledge that we need to give back to him. And he gives us all the tools that we need to give back to him. And actually, his plan is a way that just proves that he wants us back. That he loves us so much that he wants us back. You learn about that in the Book of Mormon. And it's the same in the temple. And I think the temple is just a way that we can learn in a different setting. And maybe a holier setting, a place set apart to learn about the same things from the Book of Mormon. Because God's plan is the same anywhere you turn to. It's not going to change because God doesn't change. His intentions don't change. Sometimes the policy changes because the church and the people in the world change. But God doesn't change. And I think it's really cool to see that the testimony I grew from reading the Book of Mormon and from studying and learning and trying, however big or small the effort may be, is the same. Like, I learned about the same God that I see in the temple. Now there's just more that I can learn about, more that I can think about, or different things that I can think about in a way that is visualized only in the temple, or that is presented only in the temple. The doctrine, always the same. But I think it's really cool that the Book of Mormon really prompts us to go to the temple so that we can have those covenants, so we can have that relationship with God, so that when the time comes, and the time is now, that we can prepare to not just see him again, but to know him and to want to be with him. And so the Book of Mormon, in my mind, teaches us about God and urges us to go to the temple so we can make those covenants. And the temple is just like, hey, this is the God we believe in. And it's a very hopeful experience. It's a very peaceful, calming, welcoming setting where we can learn more about our Savior and feel comfortable as we strive to approach or get closer to his presence each and every day.
That's beautiful. And what would you say to someone who is struggling with their testimony of the Book of Mormon, who isn't quite sure if it's true, mm-hmm. or who doesn't know, like, how to feel close to the Book of Mormon, how to make it real to them? What would you say?
I mean, a couple thoughts went through my head. One, I would say it's okay. It's really hard to understand God speaking to us. It takes a long time. One, because it's so advanced. Two, because we just have mortal limitations that come from being human. Right? And we can try, but sometimes it's just hard. Some days it's hard, and some weeks it's hard, and months and years, and that's okay. But what I would say is to keep trying, right? Keep reading, and if the stories are boring or wherever you're at, just try to learn one thing, about God. And if that's just one verse, that's fine. I would also say, don't be afraid to ask someone who has a testimony of the Book of Mormon. I would say just talk to people about the Book of Mormon, but you also want to make sure you're filling your life with information that is valuable. And what you're searching for, you're going to find. And so I would say search for someone who has a testimony of the Book of Mormon that you feel safe talking to. Because we've all gone through, I mean, everyone who has a testimony of the Book of Mormon has gone through the process of getting a testimony of the Book of Mormon. And that's normally a pretty slow process. with some ups and downs in between, right? And so I would just say keep trying. A little bit of effort goes a long way. You know, and I would just say, don't be afraid to reach out for help. We don't have to understand everything. I think some people get so focused on perfection. Like, I have to know every single page of the Book of Mormon to know it's true. Or I have to read every single page to know about this or that or whatever. That's not the case. Right? You just have to know. You're like, okay, I'm going to try. Right? And God can show up because he knows your heart is willing. Even if you don't necessarily understand them, that's okay. So just say, keep trying, keep praying, but also just look for a source that you trust to help you and maybe give you some guidance. I find a lot of revelation when I talk to other people, right? Because God isn't going to appear to us in person. Maybe he will. He hasn't to me. I don't think it's a very common experience. but what I do find is that he can work through other people. And so a lot of times when I'm struggling with the Book of Mormon, with the temple, with really anything, even if it's just school or social life or whatever, revelation, answers, comfort can be found through other people. Right? We're supposed to rely on other people too. We're not supposed to be here isolated on our own.
Right. Well, that was amazing. Thank you, Michaela, and thank you for doing this interview with me. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd just love to close out with your testimony. If you wouldn't mind just sharing your testimony about Book of Mormon, the church, anything, really.
Yeah, totally. The number one thing I'm learning is that I know God shows up. And that I can see that in the Book of Mormon. I can see, and it's kind of fun to see, like, the different levels. I can see that, because I know God shows up because of the stories in the Book of Mormon, how he literally shows up to, like, save them, or to rescue them from prison, or to protect them from this raging storm that might sink their whole boat and end their life, right? He shows up there, but he also shows up through the creation of the Book of Mormon and all the prophets that were protected and guided, but also through Joseph Smith and how he was guided and protected to get us the Book of Mormon that just testifies of Christ. And then that, like, third dimension of where God shows up in my life. Part of that is because I have the Book of Mormon. That's the way God shows up. But I know that God shows up, and I know that the Book of Mormon is a way that we can understand who our Savior is and his character and his role in our life. And something that just really stands out to me is that we believe in a God who is so loving enough to let us make our own decisions, but he gives us all the tools, all the knowledge, all the options so that we can make the best decision for ourselves, and we can learn when those decisions don't turn out to actually be the best. We believe in a God who understands the progression of mortality and is here to support us in every step of the way. And so I know the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, because it teaches us about his character and about his plan and about how we can make it back to him. It's very hopeful. And with that, I know that the priesthood is really on earth. The priesthood is another evidence that God shows up and that he loves us. And I think it all just goes back to that, right? Every blessing we see through the temple, through our families that can be united for eternity, through the scars that can be healed, the broken hearts that can be healed, all the miracles we see. I know that God has orchestrated it all for our benefit. And everything that we experience in life is just so that we can learn about him and learn how to come back to him and see evidence of his love. And I see that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.